This is Scott Becker with the Scott Becker Business Podcast and the Becker Women's Leadership Podcast. We've got a terrific leader today visiting with us. We've got Kim Swoboda, who is the founder and CEO of Aspiration Catalyst. She's going to talk about leadership, about business, about what she's saying today. Kim, can you take a moment and introduce yourself?
Absolutely, Scott, and I'm so glad to be here today. Thanks for having me on again. So I'm an expert at delivering successful leaders, or developing, I should say, successful leaders who build high-performing teams. So I spent 25 years building businesses within Fortune 500 tech companies and then founded Aspiration Catalyst in 2015. I bring all that experience that I had back in the day with me. And we work with leaders around the world. We've worked with thousands of them so far and are ready to work with thousands more, and we empower them to be bold, excuse-proof, and goal-crushing. So that's what we do.
So how do you get to be, give us some of your advice. I like the idea of being goal-crushing and bold. That would be great. I wish I could be more of that. What's the advice that you give to business leaders? How do you become a little more bold, a little more goal-crushing? Because I love that, and what could be better?
Yeah, well, Scott, you already are bold and goal crushing. So I think you've figured out a lot of this stuff already. But, you know, we can always be learning. And that is definitely one of the pieces of advice that I give business leaders that I work with is, how can you learn something new that's going to really help you take your performance and your team's performance to the next level? And one of the best ways that I've found to do that is by leveraging your unique talents, the things that you're, you know, great at, and investing in those things to make them even better. And so I think that, you know, when you can do that with your team as well, then that's when you really watch performance increase and rise, because everybody feels like they're really able to contribute at their highest level. And in today's world, where we're all trying to, right, get growth, and it's a really new environment, right? For many of us, it's like we're having to figure out how to do things very differently. This matters a lot. And so anything that we can do to foster growth, right, is absolutely what, at least all of the leaders that I work with, that's what they're looking for.
100%. And speaking about today's environment, I want to come back to you for a few more thoughts on advice for business leaders. Kim, when you look at today's business environment, how do you compartmentalize it down or categorize it into maybe a few key trends that you think in terms of today? What are a few of the big trends you think of?
Yeah, well, it's definitely a challenging time. That is for sure. And I think, you know, most of the leaders that I'm talking to and that I'm working with, they're looking for ways to grow in a marketplace that has changed pretty dramatically for many of them. And I think, you know, I just wrote an article on this around, like, get rid of the pivot. Everyone's talking about we have to pivot. But I don't actually like the term pivot, because I feel like you're only picking up one foot, right? Because the other one has to stay on the ground. And so what if we instead picked up both feet and moved to a new place? Like, what are the opportunities that have presented themselves to us based on the changes in the marketplace, right? We saw a lot of companies make some really major changes in the way that they were thinking about and approaching their businesses. So what is it that our clients need from us now? How do we engage with them in new ways? And I'll just use my business as an example. So, right up prior to March, I was doing many large keynotes, in-person group sessions, in-person workshops and coaching sessions. And with the pandemic, obviously I can't do that anymore. And so it's not like the need for people developing as leaders and high-performing teams has gone away. Like, if anything, it's even more important now. But we can't do things the way that we were before. So now I meet with my clients via Zoom. I do keynotes via Zoom. I do group sessions via Zoom. And in some ways, I think actually they're even better, because the global teams that I work with now, like, they can all come together and be on one call at the same time. As long as the content is engaging, right? The time goes fast and it doesn't feel like, you know, you're on this endless Zoom call that will never stop. And I also feel like there's something to be said about people engaging from the comfort of their own home. Sometimes it breaks down barriers that exist when we're all in person. And I find that many groups that I work with will actually like get a lot more vulnerable and authentic a lot faster. And so some of the leadership development work that I'm doing in particular, we've made some really big strides in a short period of time because of this new way that we're connecting with one another. I also think like this remote environment makes it hard for us to lead if we've been leading in a certain way. You know, some leaders like to walk around and talk to people and that sort of thing. And it's really hard to do that now without some more intentionality about, you know, scheduling a call with somebody. You can't just sort of drop by. And so I think that communication is one of the things that we can really do to be more effective in this remote environment. You know, I've led distributed teams in my past lives in Fortune 500, and I just really tried to treat them as if they were physically there in front of me by doing video calls, by engaging with them on a regular basis. Like it was just on my calendar and it was something that I did as course of business. And so I think that's a great best practice for leaders to engage in today. And then how do we make sure that, you know, people are engaged as they're remote? And I hear some companies talk about how accountability is a real challenge. And, you know, sometimes on Mondays and Fridays, as an example, people are not, you know, potentially working as hard as they once were. We've noticed a dip in productivity. So to me, like that's on us as leaders. What are you doing to engage your team first thing Monday morning? Let's have a huddle. Let's talk about what our goals are for the week. Let's, you know, talk about some wins that we had from the prior week and get everybody pumped up so that they're ready to hit the ground running. Maybe Friday afternoon, right? We have a happy hour. We do something where we're talking about what we got done during that week and what worked and what didn't. And what do we, you know, sort of want to retool for the following week. So I think there's a lot of different ways that we can engage with our employees, even though everyone is sort of apart right now in most environments. And there are absolutely ways to keep them together, to keep them engaged and performing at a high level.
When you've talked about leading distributed teams, which is really, you know, the really talking about working remotely, having people all over the place and working remotely with them and leading them, a couple of the best practices I hear from you are, you know, you set regular check-ins just like you would in the office, just like you would mm-hmm. meetings. You set the Monday morning huddle, you set the Friday afternoon huddle. I mean, you don't do it at 5 o'clock on Friday where your people want to kill you, but you might do it at 2 o'clock on Friday just as a, you know, end of week check-in and stuff like that.
Exactly.
What about this concept of, you certainly, I hear this from leaders, look, we got to hold them accountable, but know that it's probably not going to be the 100% that we got from the office. Not that we got 100% from everybody at the office anyways, but that productivity might go down a little bit, and it's just a different world environment and so forth. How do you sort of like work with people to try and keep them engaged? Because this engagement issue is everything. Even prior to the pandemic, mm-hmm. you know, so many consultings firms, so many reports have been written about how the average employee, the average team member might be 30-40% engaged, meaning they're showing up, but they're not really engaged. You're not really getting 100% of them. They're disgruntled either because they don't love everything, they're actually not a hustler and driven, crazily driven person, whatever the reason is. How in this COVID world, in this remote world, do you try and inch up those engagement levels? And is there some level of engagement where you say, look, you as a CEO can't have that level of low engagement from somebody. At some point, you have to replace them with somebody else. Is mm-hmm. there that point still in points? And how do you deal with this accountability, productivity issue, and improving engagement?
Yeah, no, this is a big challenge, Scott. And this is exactly what I would say. I've got it probably 75% of the leaders I'm working with right now. We're having these conversations. And what happened was they you know, uncovered their compassion. If they didn't have it before, they found it, which was great. It was exactly what people needed at the time. They needed understanding. They needed some empathy. But The problem is that we swung the pendulum a little too far that way. And now we're like, holy cow, how do we find our way back? How do we get back to driving performance? Because I can't keep being this compassionate leader. Like, you know, I'm going to be in big trouble if we're not hitting our numbers or making our goals this year. And so it's really finding that balance in between. So there's, you know, in a particular executive that I'm working with who's in talent acquisition, and she worked very hard to be compassionate during these challenging times. And she's a high accountability leader. So she had to make some big adjustments to bring that compassion in because it was new and different. So 6 months down the road, she found herself way too far on the compassion side and not enough on accountability and wasn't sure how to get back. So here's what she did. This is a technique that I call the belay, right? You think about like mountain climbers, right? They use that belay to get up and down the mountain. And I think about how do we take that belay and we latch it onto what the company goals are. What is there anything that's changed in that? Anything that we need to update? But what are the big picture goals, right, for the organization in order to achieve success? How does our team fit into that? What do we need to do to hold up our end of the bargain and why it matters? And then let's talk about what your personal goals are, right? And then we hook on your personal goal to the team and the organizational goals. And oftentimes that connection can be the thing that makes all the difference for people because they understand how when I perform as an individual, I'm going to get the things that I want and I'm helping the company get the things that they want, which in turn, right, ensures my long-term success because I have a great organization to work for and I'm consistently contributing to the success of the organization. So when this leader did this with two of the people on her team that were significantly underperforming, one of them opted out and said, you know what, I'm not interested. I don't want to do this anymore. I don't think this is the right job for me. And he left. And the other one absolutely took the challenge and has risen up and now is making his goals and making his numbers. So, you know, I think it's not that everybody gets to stay or everyone gets safe. Sometimes, like you said, people are just in the wrong job. Maybe they don't have the right skills or motivation. And we still need to be figuring that out and dealing with those things, right, as they occur, even in today's COVID environment. And the people that are in the right place and need that, you know, that motivation, right, we're there to provide it to them and help them see how their contribution matters a lot to the organization as well as to their own personal success.
I want to talk further about an issue you raised, which is this great balance between accountability and compassion and accountability and people skills and, mm-hmm. and sort of analytical skills versus people skills and so forth. Mm-hmm. What has certainly happened over the last 6 months for sure is this pendulum swinging, as you had mentioned, and I'm so glad you called it out. It's such an interesting issue that's going on, is that when you talk to people about talent, you talk about hiring, you talk about everything. The message you get today, and we know it's not really wholly true, but the message you get from leaders is, it's moved from we want to hire highly competent sharks, which of course nobody wants sharks, but people do want highly competent.
Right.
Two, everything is about niceness. We need to hire the nice people, the good people, that people and stuff like that. And anybody that we know that's run a business of any sort, or not even a business, a not-for-profit organization of any sort, is that nice is terrific, and we want our leaders to be nice and competent. But if it's just nice, there's someone that we should be hanging out with on Friday night or on Saturday or for lunch or going to coffee with, but nice itself doesn't build a business. It's nice plus competent, nice plus highly qualified. So compassion mm-hmm. is very important to any good leader. And being a leader requires you to be a good person. If you're a good leader, you've got to be a good person and care for people well. But there is also a responsibility to actually be good at what you do and highly competent.
Yeah.
Any thoughts on this? As you hear all this discussion, and it's become, of course, particularly acute during the pandemic where people are very worried about everybody, But the discussion here for leaders, and I often think that they're not really telling me the truth, is we're really looking to hire nice first. We're really, and everybody knows that's not really true. You don't want a nice surgeon. It's nice if the surgeon's nice.
Right.
But the surgeon better be good at surgery. It's nice 100%. If your accountant's nice, but your accountant better be good at accounting and make sure the numbers are right. What
right.
is this right balance between personal skills? People used to call them soft skills. They're not really soft skills because good managers have great emotional intelligence. You can't hire and keep great people unless you've got great emotional intelligence. But at some point, you've also got to be competent at what you do too, don't you?
Yeah. Oh my gosh, for sure. Well, and I think effectiveness is what I think about. People need to be effective in order to do the job. I mean, yes, we should treat each other well too, and we should be kind, to our fellow humans, and that, that's generally sort of the values or culture conversation that we have. But effectiveness has to be part of the equation. I think you have to hire for effectiveness first, and nice needs to be part of it, but if they can't do the job, it doesn't matter how nice they are. Like, think about the coffee shop that we like to go to sometimes, Scott, right? The one that I bumped into you at a few weeks ago. If they're very nice there. I like them. I like going there. I always feel good when I go there. But if I waited forever and never got my coffee, or when I did get it, it tasted terrible, do you think I'm going back there again? Not a chance, right? They need to be effective first. And then the nice is, sort of an added bonus, and that will keep me coming back again and again. But if they don't have the effective people, then I wouldn't, I wouldn't bother.
Right. But I think it's not to understate nice. Nice is very, very important. And we all want to work with, whether clients, whether people that work for us, whether people work for, everybody wants to work with nice, good people. Absolutely. And nice maybe is table stakes. You ought to be nice. You ought to be a good person. Mm-hmm. And then on top of it, though, just as important, you can't build an organization unless your people are effective and nice. It can't be nice ahead of everything else unless somebody's a greeter at a hospital, or a greeter, and they're effective at just greeting and being nice. But at the end of the day, they've got to be effective too. And you said it well. I mean, and I love this coffee shop that's in the area that we both live around, this Hometown Coffee, and they're magnificent, but they're highly competent. You order on the app. It's magnificently done. It's very efficient. It's very effective. And then the people, when you get there, treat you like you're like in the old TV show, I'm older than you are, but they treat you in the show like you're on Cheers, where everybody knows your name. So it's sort of this great mix of nice and highly effective. Let me do this. Kim, you do this great job in what you do. Take a moment and tell people a little bit more about Aspiration Catalyst, how people can learn more about you and find you if they want this coaching towards greatness and being good people, both.
Right, that sounds good. Sounds good. So my business, Aspiration Catalyst, as I mentioned, we work with leaders and empower them to be bold, excuse-proof, and goal-crushing. So we have a process that we use. So we run leadership development programs. We actually are introducing a new platform for that I'm really excited about that combines e-learning along with the facilitated group sessions and one-on-one coaching. We are also kicking off in October some executive roundtable programs to talk about some of the most challenging issues that leaders are facing today, like this leadership and remote environment and the balance between compassion and accountability. We're doing those by invitation only. You can check out my website to get more information on that at www.aspirationcatalyst.com.
Well, Kim, I love this concept. I'm going to put it on bold letters in the house someplace, in the office someplace. Bold, excuse-proof, and goal-crushing. And I'm going to put it in my daughter's room and make sure that she thinks of herself every day as bold, excuse-proof, and goal-crushing. I love that, as well as nice. But just
love
magnificent. It is literally a pleasure to visit with you. Thank you so much for taking the time today with the Scott Becker Business Podcast, the Becker Group Women's Leadership Podcast. It's really remarkable what you're doing. It's a pleasure speaking to you. I love your candidness. So, Kim, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Scott. So good to be here. Really appreciate you and all you're doing to get the word out in the world on all the important ways that people can grow and develop. So this is a great thing.
Kim, thank you.